Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Franchising and You. My name is Paul Segretto, and I'm your host Saturday mornings as we share information and perspective on all aspects of exploring, selecting, and starting a franchise business. Franchising and You is a production of Franchise Foundry and is proudly sponsored by Benetrends Financial, the law firm of Spade Ileana, and the real estate professionals at Retail Solutions. Today's segment of Franchising You is titled Create Your Own Wealth, a collection of two-minute topics on franchising, which is also the title of a best-selling book by today's guest, Holly Ford. Holly, welcome back to Franchising In You.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul.
Of course. So let me get this right. You're an entrepreneur. You're an executive franchise broker, a radio host, an author. I think I might have actually seen you in the recent launch of the Avengers movie. How do you do it? I mean, how do you have time?
Well, thanks for asking that question. That's been probably one of the most interesting parts of my life is learning time management. And I had the privilege of seeing Tony Robbins live about a year and a half ago at his business mastery course. And I bought his time management course. I thought, okay, let's just see what this is all about. And it has enormously changed my life and the way I look at things. It used to be that I would finish one project and then I would move on to another. And now I realize that these projects can be not only managed simultaneously, but oftentimes those projects give light to another project and it inspires movement in that other project. Or somehow, believe it or not, a lot of these projects end up being synchronized at a later date. So, it's really, really changed the way I think and the way I plan.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I, too, am sort of a disciple of Tony Robbins. I remember, you know, going way, way back on some of his infomercials late at night. They were very motivating. So let's talk about the book. So the book is Create Your Own Wealth, a collection of two-minute topics on franchising. What was the motivation for you to embark on this venture?
Well, this is one of the topics that we spoke on just a minute ago. That's what happened was a synergy of different thoughts. It came together. I was creating these two-minute topics, if you will. They were probably a little bit longer at the time. They were, you know, 5 or 6 minute topics. There were radio segments for a franchising radio show that I was a contributor to, if you will. So I would put these together and I'd record them and I'd spend, you know, I blocked off 4 hours on Wednesdays to write these and record them and get them over to the radio host. And that went on for, you know, a couple of months. And then I was asked to be, you know, host of that show. And I said, okay, well, let's go ahead and I'll co-host. And I looked at this body of work, and there were some really interesting topics, and they were all predominantly about franchising, but there was more to them. They had a little more depth, and they had a little spin with, you know, art and music, which of course is another passion of mine. I'm a director. I'm actually the chairman of the board for Foundation for Art and Music. So it all kind of wove together, and I said, okay, let's put these in print. You know, why not do a two-minute topic? What I love is a book that I can read in 2 hours, you know, two, maybe 3 hours, and I can just sit down, get a lot of information quickly, and keep me engaged. So I said, okay, we'll put these together, and ended up, you know, writing a dozen more, and I think we have 24 chapters of two-minute topics, and that's how it came to be.
That's awesome. And I have to say, the titles are quite riveting. I like the fact that you can put the book down and pick it up at any given time, even a short while later or much later. Which chapter is your absolute favorite chapter?
Well, that's really tough because there are several chapters that I think have just a great deal of wealth for my clients and for those interested in franchising or new to the franchising world. So I think those topics tend to be what most people would gravitate towards. But my favorite is without question the Fab Four, which is, you know, we use the Beatles, you know, analogy of the individual power of the four Beatles, but yet, you know, coming together to make this fantastic band. And I took that into the, I call it the Fab Four franchise industries. And the reason I like that so much is because it has already been given, you know, a lot of attention. I've had clients find that segment or get to that segment, come to me and say, tell me more about these Fab Four franchise industries. And it was a lot of fun because really and truly there is a differentiation in industries when it comes to franchising. Although in a, you know, in a market like we have today, virtually all of those industries, all of the industries out there, you know, you can make money, you can have a great business and create your own wealth. But in those Fab Four franchise industries, when I have clients that are specifically looking to design a portfolio, if you will, they want to create a portfolio of businesses that is going to, like the stock market, have short-term gain and long-term gain. Some obviously are a little riskier businesses where they, you know, can roll the dice and buy them. I call those the diamond in the rough franchises where they are rather inexpensive buys because the person is going out of business or has been in there 2 years and hates what they're doing, and they buy those for, you know, a very low price comparatively to what it would cost to build out and create that franchise from scratch. And they get in there, they buy those businesses, and then they also have these longer terms. So they grab these brands that are tried and true. You know, they grab, you know, the Sport Clips and things like that that they know, you know, just have a good, strong brand name that already drives massive traffic. But in addition, as these clients come to me, they're looking for industries that they know that they're going to make some money, but they want to have a specific plan in mind on this. And so we call this Fab Four Industries. They are, I think you're probably well aware of this, Paul, but senior care is one of them, obviously, and that's just because of the aging population. And I have to say, I like to add into senior care, and I didn't tangibly do that in the book, but it is the whole exercise fitness of the senior level that is growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
The second is obviously restaurants because of the ease of replication. Then, of course, what restaurant is very important. And then the third industry is health and fitness. And this is, you know, all health and fitness. And that's just because we live in, you know, a pseudo overworked country with a lot of pressure and stress. We have many more single families than we've ever had. All of those reasons, you know, they take their discretionary earnings and they put it in toward to their health and their fitness and protection of their lives, actually, really. It's, mm-hmm. it's fascinating. And, of course, the fourth is the service industry. And I think professional services over personal services because the professional services, you know, obviously have a little bit more staying power should we have, you know, a recession or any sort of, you know, economic change in our climate of our country.
That's awesome. Susan from Denver, Colorado says, thank you for writing the book. I appreciate it. I really appreciated the title. She's got diamonds on the sole of her shoes, Women in Franchising. She says, all my life, I found it difficult to break the glass ceiling. Now at 47 years old, I want to spend the next 15 years or so working for me, doing for me. With today as my starting point, what should I do? Well, Holly, I think Susan's situation is quite typical. What do you suggest? Let's say Susan's first few steps to get on the right track.
Yeah, fantastic. I am so excited for you, Susan. You're right. The new middle age, as they say, you know, for women and change, they say, is 50 now. So you're 47. You're even a couple years ahead. I think that's fantastic. Your first step is to begin exploration. You want to put on paper what your short and long-term goals are financially. You want to put on paper what you're interested in and what you hate and get it all on paper. And then you'd connect with, I would highly recommend using a franchise broker. Not that you can't do it on your own, Susan, but they will save you so much time and effort and research, because franchise brokers will get in on the back end of it. And they know the franchisees. They watch presentations, usually weekly, three or four or five presentations about businesses, about franchises. They'll look at the emerging brands. They'll look at, you know, the adolescent brands that are just getting their wings, and then they'll be able to look at the mature brands. So they'll look at your financial situation, how much you have to invest, what your net worth is, what your buying power is. You can get SBA loans now at literally with 90% financed, depending on your credit, obviously, and your situation. And then they're able to take that list of interests you have and marry your financial needs and goals and your total outcomes. You know, I want this to be happy. I want this to create wealth. I want this for a legacy for my children. And they'll take all of that, put it together, and introduce you to different franchise brands. Those brands will range, obviously, that they'll throw in brands that you're not going to expect, and they'll say to you, please explore all of these. Make sure you make your calls with the franchisors, and they will introduce you to the executives of the brands, let you get to talk with them, ask the questions, and they'll guide you every step of the way. I think it's invaluable. Again, you can do it yourself, but the time it would take you to learn about each of these brands and then discover and then go through the process is a lot. And the broker will help you. They don't cost anything. You're paid like a realtor at the end of the transaction. And they will tell you what questions to ask those brands. Even though they're giving you good brands, there's still going to be, you know, a lot of validation you want to do. You want to talk to the franchisees. The whole step and process, if you're ready to move quickly, it can be under 60 days and you can have a business. However, you know, what I always say to clients is be open, see one brand, see a second brand, see a third brand, take your time. This is an investment. And move. And then once you get into that first business, whether it be as an executive owner, semi-executive owner, you're working in the business, at that point, make sure that you're looking at this brand as, what's my next step? Always be open to the next step. Are you going to be a multi-unit franchise owner and, you know, consolidate your management to run three stores that are in a geographically proximal area? Or are you going to take just one business and move it and then maybe go into a different industry? There's a lot of things you can do, but your first step, again, I believe the best would be is write those things down, short, long-term goals, what you hate, what you love, and then connect with the broker.
Like they say, failing to plan is planning to fail. Susan obviously is in a position where a lot of the females, and there are males in that same category. But I think because that glass ceiling to some extent still exists, there are a lot of women at that age who think, I can't possibly do something else. I don't have the skill set. Could you give some advice or some your perspective on the skill set of somebody that's, let's say, been in that job for 20 years. Maybe they started out as a homemaker and raised kids and are thankful now that they're back in the workforce. But talk some about all the different parts of the skill set that they can actually bring to a venture of their own.
Oh, what an excellent question. I love that question. I love it because I stayed home with I have children, and I stayed home for many years with my children while I was freelancing. Didn't realize I had any skills, Paul. I knew that when I was younger, I had fantastic skills. I'd won an international tele award with video I'd done. You know, I knew that I had that capacity. I was writing for many publications and moving in that realm. But I was staying home, and you know it. And I thought, you know, then my husband died a few years ago, as you know, and I thought, okay, my youngest is one. Now what do I do? And I did get into the workforce again. And, you know, obviously that's been years now, but the job that I took at the time was, you know, I was working on just what I was doing. It was an extension of what I had done at home. And I honed my skills, I built my skills, and then I was able to move into, you know, a director position and kind of moved up in the corporate world. And that was just an easy step at that point, knowing then I had the security that, oh, okay, I do have all of these skills, and I've got time, and I've proved myself, okay, I'm going to go start my own business. And that mental leap was way harder than the actual skill sets. I had won awards as a franchise developer. There was many things that had already happened, but my mind was still, what could I do? How can I do this on my own? And I love to empower women and say, the skills that you have garnered in leading and taking care of a family, the leadership of children, the management of those people, the coordination of events, all of those skills come to be. And then, as you know, you're going to pull your own skill sets from, you know, when you're younger, maybe before you were at home, maybe you're a part-time worker. I had a woman come to me. She was an accountant in a church, and she did it, you know, 20 hours a week. And she said, I want to start my own business. I have no skills. I have no way to do it. And I said, well, number one, franchising is the way to go, because they will train you in all of those skill sets. And for women that have maybe not as many skills, but of course have the aptitude and the desire, a franchisor will train them and in their systems and procedures, and they can plug that in. Again, you want to get a broker so you get the right brand. But this woman, you know, like I said, 20 hours a week, didn't felt like she had no skills. She ended up buying a boutique, and it was, you know, a clothing boutique business, and did phenomenally well at that. You know, this is maybe 3 years into her business, and she's breaking records, you know, with the brand and winning awards. And she thought nothing of herself, and she was, you know, obviously an amazing woman, and I think any woman can do this.
Yeah, that's a great story. And Susan, if you really want to see the power of digging within and using whatever skill set you have, I'll refer you to two individuals to take a look at. Stacy Brown, the founder of Chicken Salad Chick, who was left by her first husband, left to fend for her and her kids as her second husband had passed away from cancer. Really knew nothing about business, knew nothing about anything, as she said, besides raising her kids, but had a great chicken salad recipe. And today it's a tremendous success story. And then I'll take you to the other side. Gigi Butler, the founder of Gigi's Cupcakes, who ventured into Nashville to start a country music singing career, but found out that she probably had a better time of making money elsewhere and started a home cleaning business, and then decided to use whatever last savings she had and started Gigi's Cupcakes because, as her brother told her, you really do love to bake. So those two
love it.
Tremendously successful, and their firms actually, their brands were actually bought out by private equity players. So, I mean, we're talking some major zeros after the numbers. I thank you for sharing your thoughts and question with us today. We appreciate all inquiries to Franchising and You. Just send me a note to paul@franchisefoundry.com. During the week, or even right up until showtime, all questions, comments will be addressed regardless of whether they make it on the show or not. Holly, let's give our listening audience a quick journey through your book. I'll mention a title, and I'd like you to share some quick thoughts about it. I'm sure everyone finds this quite interesting and informative. I believe we can get through a number of these, so let's start. World Domination, Creating Wealth Through Franchise Expansion.
Yeah, that's my Genghis Khan analogy. And really and truly, to create wealth, you can't be solid in one unit. So that's my recommendation to owners, to definitely take the step to expand their business by doing multi-unit ownership. You know, a lot of them come in to a franchise and they can sign a multi-unit agreement right from the get-go and start moving it that way. And others, they're not able to quite do that. They need to build a little bit slower. But for sure, you know, multiple units make perfect sense because the replication is easy. You've done it once, you just continue to do it.
You know, we've gotten to know each other a little bit over the last few months as we were introduced to each other by Nick Neonakis, the founder and grand everything of the franchise consulting company and the author of the Franchise Handbook. And I've also had the luxury and the privilege of interviewing you before a few weeks back. And so I look at these titles and now I'm really trying to dig in and say what really prompted her on this as I've gotten to know the story about the Fab Four and some others. So one that I really love on this is Go Sell It on the Mountain.
That's an important topic is the best that I can say. And this topic is directed towards our wonderful, developers out there, our skilled developers, which, again, I emphasize that they are good at what they do and they love their brand. So in all positiveness. But when I have a client come to me and they're listening to the developer tell them things, stories kind of come together and you start to see patterns. And it's very easy for a franchisor to oversell their business. We use the snake oil salesman as a picture there and the cute little fable. Ladies and gentlemen, attention, please come in close to where everyone can see. I got a tale to tell and it ain't going to cost you a dime. And if you believe that, we're going to get along just fine. And literally the snake oil, you know, we go a little bit into the origin of that and how it became a derogatory term. That's the fun links in the beginning. And then we go into understanding franchise developers. There's three things that we want to make sure that they're aware of, and that's money, competition, and what to expect. When they're in a discovery day, And all throughout the process, no FPRs, no franchise performance representations, and no sky's the limit terms, no you're going to make a ton, nothing. Only use the facts that are in there. You do a disservice to your brand and you do a disservice to the client if you are not completely factual with an accurate pro forma. And then, of course, the second is the competition that is very, very overlooked in franchise development for obvious reasons. You're trying to sell your brand over everyone else. But if you don't address the competition, they come in disarmed, especially through the development process. They need to know what's out there. And honestly, it's not a negative because you show them why it's positive, why your brand can beat that. Show them the objections. And if you can't overcome the objections, your brand isn't strong and you need to revisit that. And, of course, the third is what to expect. When they come to a discovery day, you know, a lot of brands are very, very good at entertaining and wine and dining the clients, introducing them, making them feel comfortable. All of those things are excellent. But without a day-to-day real analysis of the business, if they can't visit a store or a live franchisee comes in person and talks about their business, you're missing a big piece of the puzzle. They need to be able to experience and live it.
And certainly by looking through the different chapters, and I didn't notice this till I actually had them all in front of me, I definitely see the tie back to your love of music, because there's four or five in here right off the mark that I could tell has something to do with music. And one that really stuck out to me because I'm a big James Bond fan is Nobody Does It Better.
Great. Yeah, that is probably my favorite reference, if you will, of all of them, because I am, you know, a huge 007 fan. I've got a collection of one of my tangibles that I invest in, a collection of original James Bond, Ian Fleming paperbacks. He's actually a phenomenal writer, and you just read a paragraph or two of his original works, and you'll be amazed at the descriptive prowess of his writing. Nobody Does It Better comes in to play because a Nobody Does It Better franchise, if you will, is a very, very important element to look at. We want our franchises to step up to the plate. We want them to be the best they can possibly be. And the Nobody Does It Better franchise has several different elements, if you will. Obviously, they come in as they have differentiation, replicability, and unit profitability, okay? But beyond that, once those concepts are there, as they begin to grow and they get into that really late childhood, right before adolescent phase, 2 to 4 year mark, if you will, it's really important that a Nobody Does It Better franchise goes back and gets in the weeds and looks at the people they've brought into the system. They are very careful. Now, they don't always know exactly who their target buyer is for that franchisee. They don't always have a full grasp on that because until it's played out in multiple geographic areas, there can be mistakes there. So they look at the system, they see what works, what doesn't work, and at that point, they have an opportunity to fine-tune their model, really hone in, protect their brand, and go after the right target audiences. That is the phase where we see people die out or become a true, strong brand. If you are willing to sit back and make the changes that it takes and take the optics and really make effect change from those optics, then you're going to be a strong brand long term. Then, of course, the next Nobody Does It Better brand is the obvious, and that is support. The most important thing a franchisor can do for you as a buyer, as a franchisee, is to support you. Now, some of you, you know, franchisees out there, you know, want to live on an island, and that's okay. But when it comes to really growing and creating wealth, you have a network of business owners all in the same business, and the franchisor that's good will support those individuals with over-the-top support. They're going to be visiting you. They're going to have conventions. They should do seminars from time to time. They should bring all of those franchisees together in, you know, maybe a franchise advisory committee or some sort of council that all of those ideas can ping off of one another and grow together. That's a Nobody Does It Better franchise.
That's awesome. And some of the other musical references, Penny Lane, Dissecting Royalties, We Are the World, The Social Entrepreneur, and what might be my favorite is, Hey You, Get Off of My Cloud, Protected Territories and Why They Matter. That's awesome. Holly, I really appreciate you joining me again on Franchising and You. And, of course, I look forward to your return. In the meantime, please leave us with some final advice, as also tell us the best way for someone to order your book.
Okay, well, the book's on Amazon, and it's called Create Your Own Wealth. It's a collection of two-minute topics on franchising. It comes in a Kindle form and also the paperback version of it, so they can get it there. They can also, if they would like, they want to email me, I'll be glad to send them a complimentary copy. It's holly@zarianfirm.com, holly@zarianfirm.com. And, so final advice, I would just say, you know, the reason for the two-minute topic book is because how many businesses, men and women, want to look into franchising, but they're overwhelmed by the huge amount of information in there, and they just want to cut to the chase, get the facts, and understand them quickly and concisely. So there will be, you know, a second, third, maybe even a fourth version of this book, because there's many, many topics that that we can dive into briefly. For more depth on those topics, contact me, contact the business broker, contact Paul. And I just say, get out there and do it. Take the step. It is not difficult. It seems overwhelming and challenging, but I'll tell you, one step makes the final outcome happen. You just have to move the foot and make that first step.
Great advice. Susan, if you're still out there or you're listening to us later on, keep in touch. Let us know how you're doing. Remember, if you've missed any segment of Franchising and You, all available for download at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisingandyou. Remember, entrepreneurs are served daily on Accelerate Success. That's our two-month-old daily digital newsletter for current entrepreneurs and also for those aspiring to join the ranks of entrepreneurship. Our goal is to share relevant news and information in a concise format, as we know time is a very valuable commodity, especially if entrepreneurship is part of the equation. You'll find it at acceleratesuccess.com. That's ACCELER, the number 8, followed by success.com. That's it for this week. I thank you again for including Franchising in You as you explore franchising and business ownership. We greatly appreciate it. We're very excited to be part of your quest. Dream it, wish it, do it. Have a great day.